Samina Shaheem, Suzanne Radford and Voices of Diversity, as today we celebrate the Irish culture on the back of St Patrick's Day. A bit of a big weekend in the city, lots of celebrations all round town. Now, Sammy, as we look at the culture of the of Ireland, what have you learned so far?
I've found some really interesting facts, such as we know that in Ireland they're predominantly Catholic, and so they were the introduction and use of the rosary was first made in Ireland. So the use of the rosary for prayer. Looking at as well, according to Irish law, there's no death penalty found in Ireland, as well as the number of cell phones apparently in Ireland is more than the number of people. So they love to talk. There's lots of connectivity, lots of association with family and friends, and lots of superstition. So symbolic superstition. For example, looking at the Celtic knot is one of the most famous Irish symbols that stands for continuity of life. Apart from this, the harp, the shamrock, and the Irish woolhound are some other famous symbols that typically belong to Ireland, and it represents rebirth, renewal, looking at this recycle of life. So a lot to do with this symbolism and the traditions that they practice. One of the most interesting things that I came across, and we'll speak to our guests about this, is the Blarney Stone.
Stone, kissing the Blarney Stone.
Right, Suzanne. And that is the way in which, apparently, if you kiss this stone, according to the legend, the kisser is gifted with the gift of gab, of eloquence, to be able to talk better and to write better and to express themselves.
So that pretty much everyone in Ireland must have kissed the Blarney Stone then, I think, because they're certainly known for their writing, for their talking, for their stories.
Humour,
right. Music, yes. Singing. When I go to Ireland, everywhere I go, people are singing. Everyone sings.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's my stereotype of the Irish. We'll find out from them themselves
beautiful,
if that's true.
Beautiful. Fun. Just, yeah, very happy and fun and alive. And apparently it's very hard to get to the stone. It's not easy. You have to lay down and bend over backwards. And there's people who are afraid of heights, and it's on top of a tall castle or palace in Ireland. So it's not easy to get to.
Well, let's find out from our first guest who's joining us for the whole show. And that's ARN's News Centre's very own Zora Qureshi. Good morning to you, Zora.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So have you kissed the Blarney Stone?
I haven't, but I've heard a lot of people have, and I think I probably did in a past life, because I can talk. I really can, yeah.
So it must have happened before.
Probably, yeah.
So Zora, where are you from in Ireland?
I was born in Craigavon, which is in County Armagh. It's about 30 minutes from Belfast, the city of Northern Ireland, and the capital. And I moved here in 2005, but I was born and bred in Portadown, a small town in the north of Ireland.
And you're Muslim?
I am, yes.
So explain to me how this has come about, because your father is Irish and your mother, is your mother Irish?
No, she was born in Manchester, which is a bit of a mix.
There's a lot of Irish in Manchester as well, in Liverpool.
So my mum's family actually moved to Ireland when she was about 15 because business purposes. So then my family, my dad's family and my mum's family became friends, and that's where their love blossomed, should I say.
What sort of
background?
What sort of year as well? Okay. Would that be? Were we talking the 70s or 80s?
I'd say so, yeah. No, it was the 70s.
Yeah.
Yep, and my mum's parents are originally Pakistani, so it was a bit of a move for them, but my mum was born in Manchester, so it's been quite interesting having a bit of mix of the cultures. My dad's family, the intermediate family, are Muslim. My granny actually converted to Islam a while back, which was very difficult for her.
So your grandmother was the first to convert to Islam?
Yes.
Okay.
And then
and converting from Catholicism?
Yes. Very strict Catholics her family were. Her father actually stopped talking to her for a while for doing that, which was quite difficult for her. But when she did have my father, who's the oldest of his brothers and sisters, he kind of, you know, when the baby comes along, it's kind of, oh, okay, we'll embrace our daughter a wee bit more. But it still was very difficult for him to understand why she'd leave, you know, being a Catholic, such a devout Catholic that was at the time, to become a Muslim. And to him, it was just very, very strange.
Mm. And why did she do that? I mean, was it because of marriage, or was it in her own, you know, on her own, she decided she wanted to follow that faith?
Well, when we do ask her this, we do get a you know, a number of answers, but she did say that she felt it for herself before it came for marriage. But at the time, you know, she was still learning about Islam. So my father's name is Peter, which is very strange when people meet me. And my father was actually christened at the time. So it was a mixture of faiths then. But now she's much more stronger Muslim than she was a Catholic before.
Now, when I hear that story, Saminé, that sounds to me like a Dubai story, a UAE story, it could be. But this is happening in Ireland.
Yes.
And to understand that, because a very religious place, Catholic and Protestants, you hear that all the time. You don't hear Catholic and Protestants and Muslim. The Muslim population in Northern Ireland, I mean, are there more Muslims there than we perhaps realise?
Before, when I was younger, it was a very small minority, but it's growing, believe it or not. It is really growing. And I think after the events that took place in America, people all across the world found out more about Islam. And that's exactly what happened in Ireland. And in Northern Ireland, it's very small. And when I was younger, they used to ask me, are you a Protestant Muslim or are you a Catholic Muslim?
Wow.
And I, as a child, I used to think, well, am I? So I used to go home and ask, and my mum said, no, you're not either, you're just Muslim. But now, you know, a lot of people are converting and it's getting bigger. So it's a wee bit easier than it was when I was a child. But that's one of the main reasons we actually moved to the UAE.
I was going to say, what brought you here? So you came as a family?
We did. My father did business here, but I'm only myself and my wee sister, who's 10 at the moment. So my father knew what it was like growing up in Ireland and how difficult it might be, you know, mingling with other Muslims, because they're at a distance. The biggest mosque is in Dublin, which is about an hour and a half from where I live. So it would be difficult to go and interact with other Muslim girls. So we moved here. The first year I did not like it. I was homesick. I missed my family. The culture was very different. It would be normal for me to walk down the street and say hello to a complete stranger, because that's just the way we were there. So when I moved here and I used to do it, you know, I used to get really strange looks. So it was really difficult to begin with, yeah.
So the adaptation of it. But yeah, the Muslim population in Ireland has expanded substantially recently. So apparently there's 10 times more Muslims living in the country today than, let's say, as you mentioned, 20 years ago. And so there's this growing religion, but still it's not as predominant, of course, as the main religion that's practiced there. What did you find difficult to leave behind? Was it family? Was it just friends? What was difficult to leave behind when you moved here?
It was family, but believe it or not, I missed my seasons. I didn't have autumn here, or didn't have spring. And living up in what I could say a farm area, you know, I was used to seeing small animals being born at springtime. And when we first moved here, I lived in an apartment, so it was very difficult because it's not very green here, as much as they try to make it be.
Different kind of nature and the weather conditions.
Exactly, and to understand the weather conditions of Ireland, because there are seasons indeed, but it's quite, you know, you get quite a lot of rain.
Oh, yes.
A lot of rain. So did you miss the rain then?
I didn't actually, and when people say, oh, I really wish it would rain here, I was like, oh God, please don't say that, you know. I don't want any more rain. I left the rain for the sunshine.
And I think very interesting the idea of feeling that you arrived here, and even though you were a Muslim, took you a while to connect because you were missing what you've known. And that really integral within the Irish culture is the talk, the chat, the banter, having the crack. You know, everybody will chit chat to you, whoever, strangers, like you said. If you're getting in a public transport, if you're going into a restaurant, everybody will chat to you. And it's lovely. It's very, very friendly people. Some might say a little too friendly. Some might say a little nosy. I've heard that before.
But that's true.
Again, it depends who's perceiving and who's, you know, making that judgment. And how do we define friendliness? Over here, there's a very different concept of private space and being familiar with someone or being a stranger, and what it can mean when you speak to someone who you don't know, and what connotations that can have, whether negative or positive. And so issues to do with respectability and honor that have to be respected. You may mean nothing, of course, as most Irish people don't, and it's a friendly banter, but it can mean something else in this context, couldn't it?
When we come back, we'll find out more about the Irish culture and that banter, that chat. And if we get misunderstood when we arrive in a new place, can tweet @SusanneRadford.